Larry Weber joins us by phone every Saturday morning. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, and welcome to the last day before daylight savings time. or to put it in different words, I always told my students, yeah, this is the shortest weekend of the year.
There you go.
Okay. it's always kind of interesting. You know, we have that 23-hour day. We skip an hour on Sunday. We never pick a work day for it, you know.
So, too bad for that.
Anyway, we are in the midst of some change again. Since we last spoke, wow, talk about change. This is crazy March. Since we last spoke, we got a pretty good snow. We got about, right here at our house, we got about 6 inches on Tuesday. The Duluth Weather Service reported about 8 inches. There were plenty of people who got more than that. And then when winter, everything will settle down and the roads started to clear again, we get another system moving in today. This was originally, both of the two were forecasted to be about 1 or 2 inches. It turned out to be more. Well, this one is on pause right now, but according to the forecast, we're supposed to be getting some more snow later. We had rain early this morning, and of course, with the temperatures, that meant for some freezing, so it got a bit slippery, and then it turned to all snow at about 8 o'clock and continued to snow then for the next hour and a half or so. It just stopped a short time ago here. Anyway, absolutely beautiful morning. It is March, and March means things will change, and we will see more of that. If you look back the last couple years, March has been just an amazing experience. You know, last year was the record-setting temperature-wise. At this time, it was above normal, but not that much above normal. It was on the 10th where things started to happen. That's when we hit 50 degrees. By the 14th, it hit 60 degrees, and by the 17th, it hit 70 degrees, and over 74 times before it was all over. I don't expect that this time around. If you compare it, however, to 2 years ago, this March is unfolding temperature-wise much more like what we had 2 years ago. The highest temperature for that entire month was at that time 46 degrees. And then if you go way back to 3 years ago, to 2010, it was a March quite a bit like last year, except that there was very dry, no snow that entire month, much warmer, everything melted. It's different. It's weird. It's very hard to predict. It's just a strange, strange month, and we'll just have to work our way through it, keep our eyes open, and certainly we'll see things happening. And there are things happening. I had a very interesting report this week of a migrant. Of a friend of mine saw a trumpeter swan. Now, trumpeter swans have a really interesting story in Minnesota. They are native to Minnesota. They're a very large swan. We get two kinds of swans here. We get also the tundra swans, and the tundra swans keep on going further north, and they nest way in the far north. The trumpeter swans were originally a prairie bird, and they were in parts of Minnesota. They were extirpated. They're huge white birds. They were extirpated years ago, and then they were brought back, and they did very well. And very quickly now, there is populations of trumpeter swans throughout the state. They stay as far north as they possibly can. And if they can find some open water, they will stay really far north for the whole winter. They do, however, do a migration of some sort. Well, this person told me that he saw one along the St. Louis River here. The St. Louis River is mostly ice-covered, but there are a couple open spots. It's not unusual they show up in March, but it is a little bit unusual when it's the river is mostly ice-covered, so it's quite an interesting sighting. Also, I continue to see some snow buntings. That's about the only migrants that I've been seeing. There have been reports of a few others, like horned lark and perhaps even some hawks. The big news, though, is other kinds of birds. The owls are continuing to call. They are really interesting. We have a family of, last year we had a successful family of barred owls in our woods. And then they didn't really travel too far. They're still hanging around. And there are days I can step outside and I hear one call, and it's followed by answering of three other ones in different parts of the woods. Well, the last few nights they've been whooping it up around the house. Now, I think maybe I'm kind of partly to blame for that because I've been feeding flying squirrels, and the flying squirrels have been coming out. And, of course, when there is little squirrels like that, there's going to be the opportunist to predator to try to feed on them. And so that might be why they're hanging around the house as close as they are. But it's just a fascinating bird. Saw-whet owls also calling, but they're much more sporadically. They're the ones that make the noise. It sounds like a truck backing up, the beep, beep, beep kind of sound. very tiny owl, but they do the calling at this time too. Other things of note are the red poles at the feeder. I mentioned last week, I mentioned how the numbers had dropped off. This week, got a few more. I was up to about 40 a couple of days. But then I started hearing this wheezy noise that they make. And to me, that's always a sign of getting restless and getting ready to move on. And then one day this week, along with the flock of red poles, was a goldfinch. And the goldfinches, many goldfinches will hang around all winter. And they take on kind of an olive brown look. They don't look at all gold like their name says. But as we get towards spring, they start to shed those feathers and get new plumage that is much more of a brighter color. And I did see one at the bird feeder that was starting to turn yellow. So there's a sign of things going on. Mm. Longer days now, we are approaching 11 and a half hours of daylight. And that, as I said before, we have the daylight savings time starting tomorrow. And then we also have the vernal equinox coming up already on the 20th. The other things of note besides birds, there is some movement of some of the mammals. I have been seeing or smelling, I might say, the skunk odor. Yet to see one, but, you know, you don't have to see them to know they're there. And they are out and about early in the spring like this, as are raccoons. And I expect pretty soon to be able to see a chipmunk. The first chipmunk of the season almost always shows up by the middle of March. In the world of trees, I mentioned last time about how snow melts around the base of the trees. And I find interesting is the color of the twigs at this time. I did a little driving yesterday, and I just noticed how there are so many small trees along the side of the road that have some colorful twigs right now. There's reds of maple and various kinds of willows and dogwood. Then there's orange and yellows of other kind of willows and dogwoods. And then there's the burgundy color of the white birch. Yeah, just a lot of interesting color along the side of the road in the twigs. You know, we don't usually look at things like that, but when this time of year, we tend to notice it. Mm-hmm. And then there's the interesting world of insects. I mentioned before how at this time of year, it's not unusual, especially when we get mild temperatures like we had yesterday. Yesterday's high temperature here was 38 degrees. That was the warmest day of the month so far. And in those kind of temperatures, or when it gets to about 40, you see a lot of little what looks like a little black pepper out in the mm-hmm. snow, and it starts to jump around. That's a kind of insect called, we usually call them snow fleas. They're not a flea at all. They belong to a group of insects called Calambula, which is more commonly known as springtail. And they have no wings. They have legs, but they have no wings. And then they have this little appendage by their tail that they can flick down, and it causes them to jump up, and that's why they're called springtails. Hmm. You can't believe the numbers, how many there are, and sometimes on the snow on these milder temperature days. And they're real common in March, but I pretty much expect to see those. But what I saw this morning when I was out walking on the snow on the road was a bit of a surprise. Right there on the surface of the snow on the road was a caterpillar. Huh. The caterpillar was struggling a bit, and not a woolly bear caterpillar either, some other kind of caterpillar, and it was struggling a bit to deal with the snow. Well, I recognized it as being a species that would be much happier if it were in the grasses, so I put it in the grasses, partially buried below the snow, and it could definitely survive under those conditions. And then we got something to look for this week. Mark this on your calendar. This is the week when the comet, which is the comet of March 2013, which is called Pan-STARRS. Now, I think that's kind of a cool name, but comets get their name from the group that discovers them. And so the STARRS, STARRS, is an acronym, and PAN stands for, I think it's some place in California in Hawaii that made the discovery. Anyway, the comet was in the southern hemisphere, visible in the southern hemisphere until just this weekend. And now it's starting to show up in the northern hemisphere. And the night that we might have the best luck to seeing it is the night of the 12th. Okay. The night of the 12th, because we have something else that would help us find it. And that is we have just the tiniest sliver of a crescent of a waxing crescent moon. Okay. The moon right now is going into new moon, and then it will come back as a waxing crescent moon on the night of the 12th. In the evening, shortly after dusk in the western sky, quite low and near there, if you ever seen a comet, comets look kind of like a fuzzy ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a chance to look at it with binoculars, you might be able to see the tail. Now, this is what we're going to be able to see on the 12th, provided, of course, we have clear skies, is not perhaps the best view of the comet, but it might be the best way to find the comet.
Mm.
A little later in the month, it's supposed to get even more visible. So these don't happen every year, so that's really terrific. And then there's another one that's scheduled to show up in the fall. So, yes, this is going to be an interesting year to keep your eyes on the skies.
All right.
Okay, have
Thank
a beautiful
you.
Week and enjoy the day, the hour off.
Okay. Thanks, Larry.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Larry Weber joins us every weekend for Weekend Outdoors right about 9:30 by phone from his place. He has a little farm in Carlton County where he lives with his wife and his pets. And he is a retired science teacher, twice named Science Teacher of the Year, Larry Weber, and Weekend Outdoors.